Welcome, everyone, to Episode 7 of The Bonbon Show. Today is May 4th, 2025. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you, too.
I am one of your hosts, Aaron. About a week and a half ago, our lives forever changed when Clair Obscur Expedition 33, a game for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox, dropped on April 24th. While Kirk and I are still in progress of playing this game, both of us have been very eager to chat about our general sentiment and opinions of what we have played so far. There could be minor spoilers in our chat today, so be warned, but we'll be sure to avoid any major story and gameplay spoilers of things not shown in any official descriptions or trailers.
Nice. Yo, Aaron, and welcome in listeners to episode 7 of The Bonbon Show. Yeah, we really are excited to talk about Clair Obscur Expedition 33 in today's podcast, as it is definitely Game of the Year material and such a fresh and exciting new IP that is being universally praised.
Oh yeah, Game of the Year material for sure. If it's not in the running, I'm going to be so sad.
Yes, it gets all my votes, if my votes matter, that is.
Oh, your votes matter the most, trust me.
Nice.
So as we get started here, Kirk, what's the, just for everyone else in the audience who might not be aware of this particular gem of a game, what's the general premise of Expedition 33?
All right, nice, nice. Okay, so in Clair Obscur Expedition 33, you lead members of the 33rd, but like Expedition 33 on their quest to destroy the Paintress, who is this, evil, in air quotes, person that wakes up once a year, paints a descending number on a rock, and everyone of that age or older just disappears into petals. It's really amazing to explore the world full of wonders inspired by Belle Epoque France and battle unique enemies in this turn-based RPG with like real time mechanics.
Yes, sir. That's a good little rundown there.
Yes, so what drew your attention, Aaron, to this game prior to launch?
I remember seeing the reveal trailer. I think it might have been, was it a state of play for PlayStation or was it an Xbox one? I can't remember exactly like which developer conference or what the scenario was, but I remember watching and I saw that reveal trailer, brand new IP. So no one watching had any history of like, you know, this franchise before, because it was a net new one. So it came out of nowhere. No one was expecting anything like this. And why would you? Yeah. But immediately for me, it was the music, just that the singer and her voice, and you see the Eiffel Tower and it's kind of bent in shape and things are kind of floating and the scenery is just so like mystical and you're already immediately wondering what's going on. Just really turned me on, especially like the French look. I've always kind of had an affinity to some of that European environments. Ooh. And so that really just got to me as well. And then in the middle of the trailer, so the first part of the trailer is just kind of introducing the story and the expedition and exactly what Kirk had just described about the general premise of the game with the painters painting the numbers. And about halfway through the trailer flips into gameplay footage where you start seeing the battles and immediately you're like, hey, this is a turn-based game. And yes, it wasn't something I was expecting. It was like, oh, this will probably be an action game just based on the initial vibe that you were getting from the trailer. A lot of games have kind of pivoted to more action type combat because that seems to be like what people like or what sells the best. So seeing it turn-based was like not a turn-off at all. It was like a turn-on, I guess, because it was not expected. And I love turn-based games more so now that as I've been getting older, I appreciate those style of games even more and more. And you saw some of the active mechanics with parrying and dodging and even shooting. And so I was immediately hooked by everything presented in that trailer. So it went on my whitelist or wish list. I should say, and I fell in love with it just right away. It was like a love at first sight sort of thing. Anything for you, Kirk, that drew your attention to the game prior to, I guess, at seeing it for the first time?
Yeah, I also don't remember if it was the PlayStation or Xbox or both kind of gaming conference type YouTube live feed things that were shown. But like, I remember feeling the same way, like this world is like nothing I've seen before. These characters look interesting. This battle system is turn-based. You know what I mean? Like, no huge AAA type studios are doing any type of turn-based action game, RPG type story heavy games much anymore. So I was just like,
yeah, that's true.
That transition from the epic French themed trailer to gameplay, and the gameplay looked epic as well, even in those early stages. I was just like, yep, just like you on my wish list. Yeah, and I've been excited about like the return of single player story driven experiences in games. I guess from a financial perspective, I get it that the last decade has been more about like live service games, multiplayer games, looter shooter, battle royales, extraction shooters, where, you know what I mean, they can have loot boxes and you buy skins and it's a game. It's what do you call it now? It's the time when you play one game primarily, usually with your friends, and you're invested in playing that over and over and over, like Fortnite, etc. So like you're playing those games for many years at a time, and you've spent hundreds of dollars in those game environments, versus you buy a single player story game and you spend, I don't know, 50, 60, 70, I guess now $80 soon. And you play it and you're done. So from a financial perspective, I guess many studios have been turning away from these types of high quality story driven experiences, but I'm just so happy to have Clear this game, Expedition 33, doing this type of thing, high quality story. And I was just like, yes, I have to play this. All right. So what are your initial thoughts so far, Aaron, of your experience playing the game?
I have kind of three main buckets of emotions, I guess, I wanted to put everything in.
Ooh,
so buckets. The first one I wanted to talk about was just the word passion. And I wanted to demonstrate how passion is seen in this game, at least from my perspective. Okay. And the first piece I wanted to touch on that kind of describes the passion for me that's put into this game is the soundtrack. And that might be the kind of an odd place to start when you're thinking about the game and everything else that is in the game. But the soundtrack for me is just, it's just so lovely. It's sad at moments. It can be haunting. It can be beautiful. It can be joyous.
Yeah,
for me, it's just
like, rah, sometimes you're like, ah.
Yeah, it can pump you up in the right. It pumps you up in the right spots when you're battling. The active battle music is great. It really sets the mood, and especially from as soon as you boot up the game and you see the in-game footage for the first time, and you're listening to the characters talk. The music sets the tone, and it's been setting the tone the entire game so far. And the soundtrack launched the date that the game came out as well. And it's the only thing I've been listening to since April 24th. I can't stop listening to it. And even my wife is humming the songs now because I'm playing it so much. And I love it. And I can see the love that's gone into crafting the soundtrack for this game. And I was doing some reading on the French composer. His name is Lorien Testard. And he spent 5 years working on the game's soundtrack. And the soundtrack is comprised of 154 songs.
Whoa.
Spanning more than 8 hours of music. And just hearing that fact of how much time and effort and love and dedication has been put into the soundtrack gives me so much hope and belief that if that much time and effort's been put into the soundtrack, then that much dedication is also being put into the game itself. And so that's kind of where I see the passion starting for me, is within the soundtrack. And then that moves into two other pieces for me is the environment and world building. And Kirk had mentioned that Belle Époque terminology, which translates into beautiful age. And it was a period in France from approximately 1871 to 1914. And there was a lot of significant economic and artistic and scientific advancements during that time. And it was kind of a time of peace and prosperity in France, and lots just like love and beauty and just enjoyment and lots of cultural achievements, especially in art and literature and architecture. And you can really see that type of love and influence coming into this game. And it's not a world or a setting or a time period that we see very often in games.
Not at all.
Yeah. And this particular studio that developed the game is a French studio based out of, I think it's Montpellier in France. And so, yeah, it's just kind of like a breath of fresh air in the industry when we're kind of used to the same kind of stylistic type games, where this comes along and just kind of swifts you off your feet. And you're like, whoa, this is so new and refreshing, the music, the setting. And again, so I just see the passion being put into the craftsmanship of developing all of the assets that are made up of that make up the world and the buildings and the set pieces within the game. And then lastly is just the gameplay itself. You know, it's inspired by old and new games with their own unique twist on it. And I've started the game on expert mode, which is something usually I don't do. Yeah. What am I doing? Expert? I'm no expert at video games. Oh, I'm just a pleb. I like punishment. So if I had to like combine a whole bunch of different things that you might be able to refer to, it feels like a Souls-like Sekiro game with turn-based mechanics like Sea of Stars, if you're familiar with that little nugget of a RPG that came out a couple of years ago, mixed in with like some music rhythm type button presses for the mechanics such as like dodging and parrying and jumping and countering and that sort of thing, all mashed up into one little game. And while the parries can be like really tricky and something I kind of don't really love, especially like in Sekiro. I never beat Sekiro. I know Kirk loves Sekiro. It's like one of his favorite games of all time. Yeah, you're so much better at me at that game than I am by far. But something just clicked for me with the whole parry system in this game. And while I could just dodge things, the fact that you can parry and then you can counter, and it just... how they've designed that whole interaction in the game just feels so good when you counter back. It's just a glorious feeling. And again, I can just feel the passion and dedication that went into developing those gameplay systems for players to interact with. They really spent a lot of time and iterating on those mechanics. And I'm sure it took a lot of time to get to where it is and a lot of testing and whatnot. And I feel like they really nailed it. And so I just, you know, kudos to the team for getting to there. Nice. The second point was just emotional connection and just emotions in general. And for me, this is demonstrated by three characters that I wanted to mention. And these ones are available, or you see these characters in the trailer and on the website. So no spoilers here in terms of these characters. So Gustav, Mael, and Lune. That you'll be introduced to really early on into the game. And I think I can relate to all of them in some way. Gustav is, for me, he's kind of like the leader, which I mean, I don't see myself as a leader at all, but he's kind of like torn and broken. You can tell that he's made mistakes, that he probably wished that he would have, you know, done things a little bit differently. But he's also really dedicated to his cause, that he finds, you know, it's worth doing. Yeah. But his brokenness too can also potentially maybe get in the way of that dedication and that feeling, that overwhelming feeling, like, you know, things are, you know, at an all time low and maybe it's just not possible anymore. And I think there's periods of time where we probably all go through feeling those things. And like all these characters, I feel like all of us can relate to them in some way. Like they feel, you know, real ish in terms of how they behave and what their motivations are. And same for Mael. She's a bit younger than the rest of the expedition. She feels, or she's always felt, misunderstood based on my understanding and how she kind of comes across. She's never felt like she's fit in. And again, something that we probably all really feel in our daily lives at some point is, you know, we feel awkward. We feel like, you know, people don't get us when we say how we feel, and we just want to like escape and run away. And that's kind of what she's doing by going onto the expedition.
Yeah, but she's the best. We all love
Mael. She's the best. She is the tank. She's definitely my favorite character in the game. I like playing her the most.
Yes, without a doubt.
And I find her to be like an explorer. She's really open and keen to like learning new things, and does so like really quickly. And I really like that about her as well. And then the last character, Lune, that I wanted to mention, I find her to be very, very determined. And part of that determinedness comes from her ability to like really follow the rules. And being on the expedition, they have like a set of rules that, you know, if when one falls, we continue. Like you don't, if someone dies, we just have to push forward. You don't stop, you keep going. And there's a whole bunch of other rules that the expedition will follow, and she follows them to a T. And yep. I think it could be sometimes to the detriment of maybe not doing the right thing or maybe the best thing for someone else, but doing it because, you know, that's what we need to do to get the job done or to keep, you know, on the job. And so I really appreciate that of her, because I see a lot of that in myself too. And sometimes, yeah, it can be a really good thing. But at times it can be a really tough thing, and a tough thing to get over when you're someone who really likes to follow things to a T, and it's like, it needs to be this way. And when someone kind of goes against you and wants you to do something else, you know, it creates a disruptancy in your life or in that situation, and it can create, you know, friction. And so again, that's all things that I've seen in my life, and all of those characters kind of showcase that in one way or another. So I appreciate that emotional connection to these characters, someone you can relate with, and it's just drives the how immersive that story can be for you. And then that kind of just leads into the story in general. I think, and I won't go into it too much, I don't want to really say anything other than I haven't, I'll be honest with everyone on this podcast listening, ooh, I've never cried so much in a game than I have in this game, especially in the beginning stages of the story when you're getting introduced to everything. Everything just felt so heavy and real and sad, and I just sat there and just took it all in, and I kind of like reflected it on my own life and how I would interact and be in that, if that situation was placed on me. And I think that made me just feel so sad and just made everything hit home a little bit harder.
I just got really angry. I just want to fight that paintress chick. Cause like, yeah, where she at?
That's not true. So I think, yeah, I won't go into the story, what's been going on, of course, to avoid spoilers, but it's just been a really emotional game for me, and maybe, you know, whatever's going on in my life right now makes it more emotional, but I think there's something there for us to learn from and just to reflect to, even though it's a fantasy. Whatever's happening here is not likely going to happen in real life, though. Who knows? Maybe a pantress or painters will come up and start painting numbers on a monolith and everything will just go into chaos. But I just found it really impactful. So I'm really excited and interested to see where the story is going to continue to go. And the last kind of emotion that I wanted to talk about was just the wonder of everything. And for me, this is demonstrated by exploration. So allowing player freedom, and, you know, finding secrets, there's secrets to uncover, And what I really like too, and I compare this back to like even Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and I really struggled to play that game. And there was a lot of NPC like type fetch quests and whatnot in that game. And I haven't run into anything like that in this game. And it's not so linear that people sometimes don't like linear style turn-based games. There is an open world and you can explore. But I feel like the developers and those building the game kind of respect the player's time by not incorporating those types of, I don't want to be harsh and say meaningless quests, but sometimes they just feel
meaningless quests, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here first.
Sometimes they just feel like fluff just to keep you in the game longer that don't really provide much of a meaningful payoff in the end, other than like, here's a random item that you probably don't need to use anymore. Yep. Or whatever it might be.
Padding.
And fluff. So, yeah, I respect the developers to kind of respect the player's time a bit, because the story is supposed to be about 30 hours. And I think there's about another 30 hours of endgame content, which is optional, with probably, I'm assuming, like extra bosses to go and fight and maybe like dungeons or something to explore. Whereas some RPGs today, you know, a regular gameplay time just for the story is like 100 hours plus.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that the developers, and maybe they wanted to make a bigger game, or maybe they thought, you know, this is a good time. This is enough time that we need to do to make a game. And we don't need to add things like fetch quests or meaningless quests that just keep our players engaged. If they just wanted to tell a story, and however long it took them to tell that story is what they did. And so yeah. I can really appreciate the exploration and the how they managed that whole piece.
Yeah. And if I may interject here, I really like that Final Fantasy reference. Like, I have been a long time Final Fantasy fan. You know what I mean? Final Fantasy VIII is actually my favorite Final Fantasy game of all time and stuff. And I get it. Sometimes people rate games on the amount of hours it takes to complete them. And some people are like, the more hours is the more bang for my buck. So what developers have been doing is having these fluff padding type quests in these games that really, as you said, it's not useful. It's not adding to the story. It's just adding to the gameplay hours. But Expedition 33 has done a great job where every single quest, every single enemy, every single area you explore has some kind of useful item, some kind of purpose. You don't feel like, I don't want to go into this dark cave because it's probably going to be some potion that I'll never use. But, you know, like,
yeah,
every area of this game, you want to look, you want to experience. You might die, but you know what I mean? You went into that cave, you know what I mean? So it's a testament to good game design to have players want to explore your game without having to dangle some kind of item or thing above them to get them to go into these different areas. Yeah,
that's a really good point. I think they made the exploration just big enough. I feel like when you do go off the off-beaten path, it's not, you know, an hour or two of you exploring the side paths. They're little in, I guess, size, where they only take like a couple of minutes, but you still feel like you've got a sense of, oh, I found something that was off the main path, and I went and, you know, it took me 5 or 10 minutes. Maybe there was a boss, maybe it's just an item or something, but you don't feel like it took 2 hours and all you did was a side quest for your entire playtime for that day.
Yeah.
And then you didn't really get to progress the story. So I feel like they added those pieces, but they made them smaller in scope to allow you to keep progressing on the main story, but still get that sense of, ooh, secrets and, you know, special stuff that I can still interact with. So I feel like they've found a nice balance there, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. If I may interject again, like, one of the secrets that I really like getting, and I won't get into detail on what they are, but like the character costume/clothes that you can unlock as you do some of these side quests and find some of these secret bosses and stuff is so good and so worth it when you can dress your characters in different ways. And other people who have played the game or might even not have played the game, they can tell kind of like where you are in the story and what you've done by how you dress your characters. And it's just like even during the cutscenes, whatever you dress your characters in, they are in those clothes during the cutscene. So it's, I feel like that's a little bit of Monster Hunter. That's the only game I can reference right now where whatever your equipment is that you're wearing at the time, that's how your character shows up in the cutscenes. So what I like to do is just dress my characters in very silly clothing. This is a serious game. People are dying. And then I'm here walking around looking very strange. I just love it.
I do the exact same thing. I will say, like, yeah, the French influence is very strong in this game, and I'm here for it. So if you love the French stuff, then you will love this game as well.
Yes.
The last thing I wanted to say about Wonder, before I get to Kirk's experience, is just the character expression. And that kind of leads into what Kirk was just mentioning with the costumes and stuff. But the other side of that I wanted to touch on briefly was just the character abilities. I won't go into what all those abilities are or whatnot, but there are a lot of skills that you can unlock for each character. And so how I've been playing the game compared to how Kirk's been playing the game in terms of, what skills he's unlocked, and even out of those ones that he's unlocked, which ones has he been using and how often does he change them? And, there's, all the iterations of how and combinations of those skills. And then there's a systems called Pictos, which are like abilities that your character has access to. And then there's another thing called Lumina. I won't get into all of that stuff, but just know that there are layers to kind of expand your character expression and make them who exactly you want them to, not even just from a character, but how everyone synergizes together as a team. And so it's, I think at the first, maybe the first hour or two, I was like, whoa, this seems like a lot. I'm not sure if I'm overwhelmed here or if this is, I'm sure I'll get used to it. But as the game, as you start unlocking more and you start reading the descriptions and using it a little bit more, it becomes very intuitive on how to use it. So in the initial thought, I was like, oh, this is maybe a bit too much, or I'm gonna just run away from using this system. No, you pretty much need to use it, but it becomes self-intuitive just after playing with it for a few minutes. So again, a lot of dedication and iteration, I'm sure, that the team went to, and how to build those systems and incorporate those systems, and how to allow the player to want to use them and how to learn them. So that sense of wonder can be seen in the character expression on developing characters and parties that work for you and work for your situations. And if you don't, and if they don't, then you have the ability to change them when you die.
Which you will a lot.
And which you will do, and then you can get to your boss battle again with, hopefully a team synergy that will work and create success for you. So yeah, those are my early impressions of the game right now. I know, Kirk, you're ahead of me in the story of Expedition 33. So how has your spoiler-free experience been playing it so far?
Yes, this is an amazing game. I feel like you've touched on some of the stuff, but I can expand a little bit more in some areas. You mentioned the battle system. You mentioned Sekiro. I'm a huge Sekiro fan, hint hint. I think this is the best battle system I have experienced in a video game since Sekiro. It's different genres. Sekiro is more Souls-like, far more linear. And I think far more difficult, but I think the genres are comparable. It really teaches you the battle system with increasingly difficult battles as you progress through the game. So like there'll be bosses you'll run into early in Expedition 33 that will just wipe the floor with you. You know what I mean? But in trying repeatedly, learning how to parry, to counter, to dodge, which elements enemies are weak to, etc. You kind of learn the battle system more, and before you know it, you've beaten that boss, and you're like, "Oh my God, like I'm stronger now," type of thing, almost like an anime arc.
Yeah, like the player, you yourself are stronger and more wiser and knowledgeable about everything.
Exactly, and that's a feeling that not many games are able to give you. Like Sekiro did that so good, you know what I mean? Like it's hard, it's painstaking. It's frustrating at times, but once you've gotten those parries and you're like gliding around these bosses and enemies, you're like, whoa, you used to one-shot me, bro. What happened? I got better. Yeah. So the battle system is also very flashy and very satisfying to counter and dodge. As I said, the player feels more and more of a badass as you learn your characters and take on bigger and bigger enemies. And after a while, you almost feel synced in with the battle system of Expedition 33. Like all the characters, as Aaron was saying, are very different. You know, like Gustav, Lune, and Mael. We can mention those three. It's like none of them play similarly to each other. You know what I mean? Like all the characters have far different play styles, very different ways of interacting with enemies. And then even though they all can share the pictos that you find, it depends on how you are building your characters. And even within characters like Mael, you know, my Mael is very different from Eren's Mael. So even within the characters, how you equip them makes them play very differently. My Mael is more of a patient, defensive player in the beginning, but as the battle goes on, she starts, you know, changing stances and racking up that big damage type thing. While like Lune has just been my straight up healer type of character and stuff. So again, different people can play the characters differently, and that's a sign of a awesome battle system. Next up, again, the story. Oh my God, it's the writing, it's the pacing, it's the emotions. Like I am so invested in this expedition. I hate this paintress chick. That
Such a strong word.
Oh my God, I'm just like shaking my fist, trying not to throw the controller across the room because I'm just like so. It's not some, you know, like, what I say, kindergarten type story. It's like some real epic, real life stuff. This is definitely a game for adults, you know what I mean? Like mature and interesting, you know what I mean? Like people are dying. You know, you have love interests, you have family stories, you have, you know, like kids coming up looking up to you. It's just like so deep, so many layers. I'm so invested. It's so many emotions. And then the music just adds to that in a way that not many game developers understand the importance of the music to the story type thing. Yeah. Screw those Nevrons. Nevrons are the name of the monsters that you fight in this game. Like, oh my God. And these Nevrons come in all different shapes and sizes. It's amazing.
Yeah, some of them just destroy me so fast. Oh, man.
Yeah, so like compared to other big video game story heavy hitters, I would compare this to even Elden Ring and like Ghost of Tsushima. Elden Ring was written by, oh my God, I forget his name now, the same guy that wrote Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, is it George R. Martin or something?
Yes,
I've
so
never read the books, but yeah.
they hired like a proper writer to write the story of Elden Ring, and it shows. And Ghost of Tsushima was one of the other games that I really got invested in the story and the protagonist, and it just makes sense as you progress through the game. Expedition 33 is definitely on that level. It has no like fluff or real world insertions. Like it's not taking you out of the story of the world of Expedition 33 to discuss some kind of real world political or other issue, which depending on the genre and the type of game, it's fine. But in a game like this, you know what I mean? You're trying to be immersed, and you know there are different emotions attached to your characters, and like, whoa, such a great story. It's amazing.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. I think it's they created a world, it's unlike our world, and they really want you to try to understand and put yourself into the shoes of those characters in that world at that time. And yeah, it makes sense that you wouldn't try to put real world type stuff in into that game because that game in that world doesn't know our world exists, right? Like not to say like that's impossible, but yeah, they were really trying to just like make a fantasy world that a player could just get immersive in and Yeah, they did a good job.
Yep. Another thing that is also a hot topic, talking about the real world a little, is I'm just so happy that this game is a fair price. I'm playing it on Game Pass right now, Xbox Game Pass, because I got like a 1 month free trial that I didn't turn in when I bought my laptop like over a year, almost a year and a half ago now. So I'm playing it, but it's $50, like $50 on PlayStation, Xbox, PC. Like, wow. For a game of this quality with all the time and effort and stuff that has been put into this game, a game like this for $50 is almost unheard of in this day and age. And it's a full, complete game with no day one locked content, DLC stuff. It's just like you pay $50 and you get an amazing, well crafted game. Yeah, it's if you really love the game and you want to buy other things, for example, if you want to get the collector's edition, it really has amazing, unique, high quality stuff, not some kind of plastic fluff, so to speak, or some digital stuff that you will never ever use, like stickers or avatars and stuff that you're paying extra $20, $30, $40 for. And as Aaron said, if you love the music as we do, and Aaron loves it even more, you can buy the soundtrack. You know what I mean? And which I'm considering doing. I might search for some of the stuff on Spotify, which I already have found some stuff as well. But yeah, it's like you buy the game, but if you really love the world and love the story and want to be invested, you can buy additional stuff separately, optionally, if you want to. Yeah.
Do you mind if I just add a comment there?
Sure.
Yeah, with the, I know the limited edition stuff, so the collector stuff was a little bit kind of hard to get because it was really limited to certain countries, like here in Canada. We only had access to just the regular physical version, which I did get a copy of because I was like, this game seems really special to have a physical version of it on disc, just in case something happens. And yeah, it was just under $7, which again, was really, really consumer. In terms of pricing, so I appreciate that. I know there was like linear edition, which was available in like the US and other European countries, which came with a really cool art book, which I love to get at the end of this game.
Yes.
I think the case was a steel as well as both would have been really cool. I actually had tried to get that version, but it's just as impossible. And I know they were really expensive edition. They should have had like the monolith in it. And I mean, it was like small. So I don't know which songs the Moses Ball is playing. Now I'm being same with soundtrack as I do. I'm like, so curious to like what that might be like. And then, into the soundtrack, I just mentioned Origins, it is available on device. And can't just from. I think the music was a sort. I spent $60 Canadian, which just seemed like so cheap for
150 hours. Wow. Over 8 hours, right?
8 hours of music. So $16. It's only like a digital download on Bandcamp, but they come out with a physical version of it at some point. Maybe you're really tempted to buy it. I'm interested to see what other types of merch and collectibles, things that they come out with this game, where they have like a really good like official art book. I might be tempted to pick that up.
Yeah, I'm looking out for an art book as well. I feel like some of it is because it's such a small studio. This is their first game, and maybe they didn't even anticipate it being such a huge hit. They didn't, I guess, want to take the financial risk of creating many of these items, and then the game flops, and then, you know what I mean? Like, there's an issue.
That makes sense.
So I forgive them right now for the limited availability, but like, I hope, like, for example, the art book or other merchandise can come out in the future, now that it's so popular and it sold so many, that hopefully, like, that I can get, or we can get, like, an art book of this game, because I really feel like this game is something special. And yeah, I want more stuff related to this game. Where was I? So yeah, so again, music, soundtrack, collector's edition, art books, all kind of different things you can get, even though it might be difficult now. I'm hoping that it comes more becomes available in the future. They also have like cosplay guides for the different characters, especially Mile, Lune, and Gustav. Yeah, I like the detail on these characters, again, the different costumes and stuff. If you are a cosplayer listening to this or interested in it at all, check out the cosplay guide on the website. Cosplay as
Oh, that's cool.
Mael, and I will I will be your friend for life.
Wait, are you gonna
You never
cosplay
know. You never know. I'll
as
see you at a con in the future as Mael.
Sweet. Kurt confirmed to be Mael cosplay. Woohoo.
Nice. I guess the last thing, while we wrap before we wrap up, that we have to also bring up, or I wanted to mention, was that, to my knowledge, there are no major technical issues with this game, even though it launched on PC, on Xbox, and on PlayStation. So many modern games launch with broken, like they launch as a broken mess, running like garbage, and depend on like day one patches, and even months after the game has been released, it still doesn't really run well. And even some of my favorite games, I'm gonna call out Monster Hunter Wilds on PC. Like Aaron plays on PlayStation, so he's cool. But I had some issues with Monster Hunter Wilds on PC and other air quotes AAA games that launch just in terrible states. Monster Hunter Wilds has improved with patches, but like we're talking about Expedition 33, no problems, not one crash, not one glitch, not
Awesome.
one issue on PC in the maybe 30 hours I've played so far. And in this day and age, that is an amazing experience, amazing accomplishment. It's also
Yeah,
quite
that's
a
important.
beautiful game. Yeah, it's such a beautiful game. The graphics are amazing, the lighting, the effects, the sound, everything just comes together so nicely without glitches. Like some of these environments and how the lighting, I guess clair obscur is like a French reference to how light interacts, like the dark, like darker and
Yep.
lighter areas of paintings, if I remember correctly. So this game is beautiful, one of the most graphically amazing video games I have ever played. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be like photorealistic, real world type graphics, but just the lighting, the enemy design, the atmosphere, the environments, to have all of that without any glitches, any crashes, any issues in 2025 is quite an achievement. Yeah.
Yeah, kudos to this team. Like, even they were a pretty small team. They were a team developed or came together from maybe different companies and other studios. And so, yeah, good for them to really take the time and deliver something that didn't require like a day one patch, right?
Yep.
You can just install it. You don't have to be connected to the internet to get the fixes. You just play. And that is such, it's crazy to say that's a rare thing nowadays in big titles. So appreciate that the team was able to deliver a product to that degree for their very first launch game ever from the studio. Like that's, yeah, just a massive applause to them.
Yep. So yeah. We've been chatting in your ear for a while now, singing praises for Clair Obscur Expedition 33. Amazing game. If you are playing it, enjoy. If you haven't tried it yet and you're into RPGs or want to try a single player story driven game, please check it out. I also have been streaming it, if I may plug my Twitch stream here.
Oh.
A lot on Twitch at Jamai Plays. I know Aaron has been streaming as well. Have you, right?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I've been I think I've sh I don't I just stream just for fun. But yeah, I've been streaming most of it. There's times where I don't 'cause I only get to play for like an hour. So I'm like, I'm not even gonna bother. But I have been trying to stream it just like the odd person or Kirk dropping in or some other people dropping in. It's nice to have some company while playing, and they can boomy as I'm doing terribly against the boss.
Or they can encourage me with some advice. I always give you a hard time. I always give you such a hard time. But yeah, it's fun. So yeah, check us out. I'll drop our Twitch links in the show description. And yeah, please enjoy Clear Obscure Expedition 33. I'm looking forward to more games from the studio, more more of the story that we haven't completed yet. If we've already been having emotional challenges in the story so far, I don't want to imagine what it would be like closer to the end game,
my
to
heart.
The ending. Yeah, I think I'm close to end of the middle of the game now, maybe ending
end
into
of the
end
middle
game. Yeah, don't judge my English. But I feel like I'm about to enter endgame now. Aaron is far behind me. Hurry up, so I can talk with you about.
I'm trying.
Story.
I'm dying too much,
Mister. I'm playing on hard mode. Yeah.
Yeah, it's slowing me down for sure.
Yeah, but thank you guys for listening to episode 7 of the Bonbon Show.
Thanks, everyone. Catch you next time on the Bonbon Show.
Bye
tomorrow bye. Comes.
Ha ha ha.